Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Repitch. I'm David along with Richard.
Hey guys.
And today, Richard has finally seen Black Panther 2.
When did it come out?
It came out mid-November, I think.
So it took me a month to watch it. But David, how could you? I blame you. You did not convey how, even though this was in your top 9 movies of the year, convey how great this movie was. So good.
You can't say that. The first thing I texted you was, this is a top 5 Marvel movie of all time.
When you said that, I'm like, there is no flipping way. Like, just out of sheer numbers, but David, this is probably the best sequel movie.
Yeah. Unless you want to throw in Winter Soldier and things like that in there.
I think this is better than Winter Soldier.
Fair.
Yeah. Like, just third act alone. I'm like, okay. All right. So we could talk about this forever. This movie, do you have stats for us before we go on?
I actually do.
Yeah, let's talk about the stats. Because, like, I'm so curious.
So, as you know, this movie did very well.
I'm not surprised.
Domestically, it did opening weekend, it started off with 181 million.
Oh, that's nice. Okay. It's
really great, which is
more than
crazy.
Black Adams, but okay.
more than Black Adam, like for the entire run of Black Adam.
Which was straight to HBO, like a month, not even a month, which is a really bad sign. Oof. But go on.
Oh, man. Another rabbit hole for that topic.
I'm going to watch that movie soon, so we can talk about that, but go on.
So domestically, it did 440 mil. And then international box office, it did 380 mil. And then worldwide box office, it ended up doing 821 mil.
Oh my gosh.
Great movie, almost hitting the billion mark, billion dollar mark. So the budget for this was 250 mil. So it did very, very well.
That's not counting the toys and like product placement. Like, wow, well deserved. This is a great movie.
Yeah, and I think this movie, you know, it had a tough task of trying to continue a storyline without its main actor.
Yeah, how do you make a Black Panther movie without the Black Panther, without Chadwick Boseman? And as, what do you call it? They did, you said, I think you said it in one of the recordings, like they did the best they could have in a very terrible situation.
Yeah.
And I completely agree. I think, you know, they did a good enough, like this movie is about grief and like dealing with grief. And I can't recall a Marvel movie talking about such a serious issue and ending it well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Iron Man 3 talks about PTSD, which is like, oh, really interesting. But like Tony Stark heals himself by throwing his thing in it. Like, there's no resolution. Like, there's nothing. But like, this is like, oh, from beginning to end, they did a great job.
Yeah, agreed. And still, you see at the end of it too, like, it's not, like, she's still dealing with a lot of it, but she's learned a lot with, you know, what happened.
Yeah. And speaking of that cast, oh my goodness. I love how like the first act was just the three women. I can't pronounce names.
The actresses, yep. Letitia Wright.
Yep, Letitia, the queen.
Angela Bassett, mm-hmm. And then you got Danai Gurira.
Yeah, and as I was watching it and how like flawlessly they're talking to each other, you know, they need to do this and find this person and stuff like that. And I'm like, wow, like I don't think there's a Marvel movie where three women characters are like talking the most and like leading the role, which I'm like, this is huge. This is great.
Yeah, I do agree with that. And I think, you know, Angela Bassett held the movie together. Oh. You felt the weight of this movie through a lot of the acting for these guys.
Yeah. She killed it as a queen. Like the first act, the first scene, she's like, I'm the queen of Wakanda. Doesn't mean we don't have a king. Like, I'm still mama boss. Like, you guys can't come to my like, it's great. Like, I loved it. Like, I don't know. Do we ever talk about Black Panther 1? Do we ever review it?
Yeah, I think you might have repitched that one.
Did I really? Am I that psychotic? I think so. I don't remember repitching it. But like, if the probably the weakest part, I feel like, still feel like it was a Black Panther one, was the main Shuri and Nakia. Like, yep, they were the right. weak. Like, it was a lot of characters in it. Like, I don't blame that. Like, Michael B. Jordan was just captivating from that whole first Black Panther movie. But yeah, like, and you know, like, after Chadwick Boseman passed away, and I'm like, oh, they're making Black Panther 3, and like, it's pretty obvious who they're gonna make the new Black Panther. It's gonna be Shuri, her sister. I'm like, I don't know if she can do it. Like, I don't know if she has the acting chops or what, because I've never seen her in anything else. But like, she held her own.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Yeah. I think she surprisingly like came out and she, like you said, held her own, and she seems like a whole new character.
Oh yeah,
a lot more depth to her.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to see more of her. Oh, yeah. After this,
which is like great. Like, I loved how either the mom has dealt with her grief, the loss of her son, and she's like, the whole idea, like, okay, they need to burn their funeral clothes, but Shiri's like, no, like, I don't want to be here, I don't want to think about it, I don't want to deal with it, I just want to move on, work on my science stuff, and just figure stuff out. I'm like, yo, that's not an acceptable way to deal with grief, but like, that's very relatable. People just like, let me just work and not process that.
Yeah, and it's kind of, they touch upon this interesting thing about like science versus the spiritual too.
Oh, yeah.
Like with her character. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a very interesting thing too, because like, part of it, by the end of it, like, she kind of, in order to really become this Black Panther, she has to like believe in everything that their culture believes
in.
Oh,
yeah.
And like, of course she has her doubts, and then, you know,
I mean, but, we want to talk about this chronologically, but I don't think that's possible. But yeah, like,
and it's definitely not looking out like that.
Okay, so we'll do this. We'll talk about the good, some bad, and maybe even try to pitch Black Panther 3. But let's just go shotgun, go crazy with Black Panther. Like, right, good. Let's talk about the good. First, yo, how does it feel to have your co-host be a genius / psychic?
For what? Oh, because of the queen?
Yeah. I swear, look here back, before, like, maybe a month or a couple of weeks before Black Panther 2 came out, and we're talking about what's gonna be about, I swear I called it. Didn't I not call? I'm like, they're going to kill the queen off. Like, she has to die.
There has to be some way. But you did call it.
How did you feel when you saw that? Like, oh, shit, Richard was right.
No, actually, to be honest, I didn't remember.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, man. When I saw that scene and like, she was just dead, I was like, I was laughing so hard in the inside. I'm like, hold it in, Richard. Don't laugh outside in public, because you're going to look like a psychotic person. I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I actually called that she died.
But like, I will say this, like, when you're watching the first bit of the movie, it feels like it's heading in that
direction. Oh, it did. It does. And I'm like, I think for the character Shuri, like, it was like, you know, the Black Panther character died off screen, which is a good thing, because you don't want an actor or like CGI. I'm so glad they did not CGI him in, which they easily could have.
Oh my gosh. That first like 5-10 minutes of that movie. Oh, just like no music, just them frantically running around and like how closely they related to the actual Chadwick Boseman's actual death.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I think it's
great. Like,
yeah, it's like, so it's, good.
It feels real. Like, for a split second, I forgot I was watching a glossy Marvel movie.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah,
it's
great.
I think, yeah, for the first 10, 15 minutes, I was like choked up. Like, I was like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, oh shoot, Marvel, you really bring, like, you're bringing the heavy hits. And like, when the like Angela Bassett, well, she has that line where, you know, I'm so bad with names. What's her name? Okoya. Okoya loses her daughter. You know, she goes, daughter goes to Atlanta, and like, she strips her of her title, and like, Okoya's like, I did so much for this team. Like, I did so much. Like, you can't fire me. And Angela Bassett just like says, I am the queen of the most powerful nation in the world, and my entire family is gone. Have I not given everything? Oh, I was like, dang. I was like, oh my goodness. She's so good to die, but she's so good.
No, that speech right there, that definitely staple speech. And I think that's one part everybody's going to remember.
Oh, yeah.
And That's the part where everybody's talking about, like, oh man, she deserves an Oscar for that.
I seriously, like, it is. I don't think there's anything as I've seen as, like, again, they're not gonna win because it's a Marvel movie, but like, she definitely should be nominated.
No, yeah, I think the weight that she brought into that speech, oh my god,
so real.
I think just like watching it in theaters too, like how quiet it was, and like how, like, if you could feel like everybody's really like watching and listening. Yeah,
definitely. I mean, you and I watched in two different, you watched it when it came out and I watched it a month later with like two people in the theaters, which is the best thing in the world. Like, were people annoyingly clapping at random scenes? That's my, you know, that's actually my biggest pet peeve.
There was like one or two, but surprisingly it wasn't like,
what were
it
they wasn't clapping as crazy. At?
It was definitely like whatever action scenes there were, but like it was minimal at best. Okay. Not, I think the most clapping out of the Marvel movies I've seen is definitely Endgame.
Oh yeah,
I but mean, that's I understand why, of course, you're clapping in
the
that
last movie. Act, the last fighting scene. Yeah, I don't blame you. I hate it, but whatever. But yeah, like, you know what's so good about this movie? That like, to be honest, David, I think this movie. Okay, I'm gonna make a bold statement right here. I think Black Panther 2 is a better movie than Black Panther 1 because it has a stronger third act.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, Black Panther 1, it's gonna go down in history as like one of the most iconic because like it builds a world that's so believable. Like, it's never gonna be like, it's huge. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if that movie goes down in the archives, you know, like it's historic, but one of the weakest, like a very typical weak third act. That was super disappointing when it comes to.
Yeah. I mean, just CGI alone was kind of like,
it's very like that.
Very whack.
But like with this one, it's just like, oh man, it does a pretty great job. And, you know, I don't want to go with the mid-ending credit scene because I want to like give that weight, but like if they do a great job.
No, I think, you know, with every sequel that comes, it's expected that, you know, the bar is raised.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's going to be so much more to it. And Black Panther 2 did not disappoint.
Oh, it didn't.
I think, you know, when you're the most powerful nation in the world, it's like, how do you combat that?
Exactly.
Like, how do you fight that? Uh-huh. Oh, like, and there happens to be another nation that, you know, just as strong, or like, you know, they have access to the same...
Vibranium. Is it called Vibranium? What did you think about Atlantis and Namor?
I will say, you know, I'm kind of glad that they kind of switched it up. They kind of brought it down to earth a bit more.
Oh, yeah.
Made it more Mayan-esque.
Exactly. And like, even like, you see them like, you know, doing the hip hits for the like actually like Mayan stuff, and like culturally I'm like, oh wow, like this is like really awesome representation that you don't see. Mm-hmm. I don't know how faithful, how great they are, but like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I think I don't know too much about the culture too much about it, but I think from what they've shown, I think I like that direction that they went and decided to go with, rather than, you know, building a new, just a mythological like city like Atlantis.
Yeah, I mean, they changed a lot in comics, but like, I don't think I'm gonna hear anyone say, "Oh, I'm a big fan of the Namor character in comics." Like, no one. Like, yeah, he's a huge pivotal character in the comics, but like, no one's gonna like, "Oh, I like the original of this white guy in a bathing suit with feathers in his wings." Like, no, the way they read it in here is much more interesting. I mean, the way he got his name is kind of stupid, but like, other than that,
oh yeah, that was, it's very pun,
yeah,
punny.
I was like, but like, we'll talk about that later. But other than that, like, I liked it. It was good. Like, this is what it would be like if an isolated nation that's very hostile would act.
Yeah, agreed. I think some other good points that I enjoyed about the movie. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The soundtrack was amazing.
Yeah, so good. And I mean, like Rihanna, like, but we'll talk about the credit scene in the end. But like, oh, so go on. The soundtrack was great. I agree.
Soundtrack was great. I think for a 2.5 hour long movie, this was done in a very quick paced manner.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no, It didn't feel like there was a wasted minute in it. Nothing was really dragged out. And, you know, I think obviously because of the absence of Chadwick Boseman, mm-hmm. they gave a fair amount of screen time to a good amount of people. They gave them a little bit more weight, a lot more importance, mm-hmm. Which is also hard because, like, when you split up that kind of time with a lot of people, it gets smuddied.
Which is, like, you know, one of the faults of, you know, Black Panther 1. It's just, like, it's so many great cast. And, like, yeah, like, for example, I feel like M'Baku, he's probably one of my top five favorite Marvel characters, MCU. Mm. And I loved his role in this movie as Shuri's kind of advisor. And he has this line about, like, you know, her mom passes away, and what she says, like, you know, it's like, to Shuri is like, oh, I'm not a queen, I'm still a kid. And, like, M'Baku says, like, the world has taken too much away from you for you to still be considered a child. And I'm like, oh my goodness.
No, I mean, those wise little things from M'Baku are so great. So, and I think he's definitely going to play a huge part going forward.
Which he should.
Especially with no Chadwick Boseman anymore. Yeah, I think he's going to be a big part. I think, which is kind of what they hinted at towards the end of it, you know?
Yeah. He's going to be the king, right?
That's what it looks like right now. And
I think he should, yeah.
Which kind of translates into, like, is he going to get Black Panther powers? Like, is...
I mean, at this point, it could be synthetically made, and everyone... I mean,
right.
They have a bunch of it in the middle of the woods, nowhere, which is, like, right. I don't know how healthy that is, but... what else did you like about this movie?
I think the best thing about this movie for me was how much of a tribute it was for Chadwick Boseman.
Oh yeah.
You'd expect it to just be like, you know, beginning mm-hmm. and an end where, like, it'd be those tributes, but everywhere in the middle too, you see these little hints. They bring up T'Challa and mm-hmm. Chadwick and mm-hmm. like just kind of the weight he played and how important he was to this. And you kind of feel that too. Like, for me, when I saw that and heard that, it wasn't just hearing about T'Challa, the character. It was mm-hmm. Chadwick Boseman, yeah. really. Mm-hmm. And it's safe to say, I think, you know, the way that Robert Downey Jr. is Tony Stark. And, you know, he's that character. I think Chadwick Boseman, just as equally, he became that character.
Yeah.
Especially just because of the impact he had for, you know, African American culture mm. and people, you know, being able to play this superhero for a new generation of kids.
That representation matters, and, like, they could have easily recasted him. Like, hey, let's make who's another young African American actor, like.
Which is, you know, that was a big argument coming into this movie, like, oh, like, because, like, you don't want to muddy Chadwick Boseman's contributions to this by doing that. But at the same time, I heard some of the arguments for why they should recast it was the fact of representation. Oh, you're just going to kill off this new black superhero character. You know, like, that's just kind of ruins it. But how they approached it in this movie and the way they kind of, like, tied a bow with it at the end of it, I think they did it in the most tasteful way that they could.
Yeah. Great job. Can we talk about that surprise cameo that we didn't expect to see when Shuri takes the Black Panther fruit?
Yes. Yeah. That's actually my next great point.
Perfect. We'll bring it up, David.
So, of course, next best thing for me in this movie was the interesting way they brought back Killmonger.
Yeah. Michael B. Jordan makes... I didn't expect him to be there.
Yeah, it was kind of hard to picture. It's like, how do you bring back a dead character?
Exactly.
And they did it in a very good way.
Yeah.
It's not like the, what do you call it, in Thor, how they just brought back, like, Idris Elba and then...
Oh, it was very...
You know, in Valhalla.
Very cheesy. Very, like, oh, yeah. Like, I don't know. But, like, no, this makes complete sense in the lore of Black Panther. Like, Shuri wants revenge. And, of course... She's not going to see her ancestor, but she wants to see Michael B. Jordan, and she gives her that. He gives her that advice. Like, take what's your own, man.
Right. And that's like, you know, that's that whole issue from that point going forward, her vengeful nature and how she's handling this grief, or how she wants to handle this grief.
And that fight scene with Neymar, that was brutal, but that was great.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. Yeah. They did slow motion in a very good way.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I don't think there was anything I'm like, ooh, that's, I mean, there was like, I think a couple of things that CGI was kind of wonky, but not enough for me to be so nitpicky here and there.
Yeah, I think overall this movie, I know I loved it. Yeah. Now, I don't know if it's because there hasn't been a great Marvel movie in a long time, but I think it's...
So there has been good Marvel movies, but there hasn't been like, oh my goodness, this like changes the game a bit.
No, yeah. I mean, I've said it to you before. I think this is hands down the best movie since Endgame, like Marvel movie since Endgame, in my opinion.
No, I agree. Like this would make, what's his name? All those like hoity-toity directors kind of like eat the shoe. Like, hey, like this is a solid movie.
For real. For real. And, you know, I'm curious how they're going to keep this story going.
Yeah.
You know, I will say like all the other cameos, the way they brought Martin Freeman back.
Oh, he was delightful in this.
Yeah. I mean, he was a good part in the first one too, in my opinion. I think he was enjoyable. And the way they also tied in Julia Dreyfus.
I don't know. That was a kind of a weak part for me. Like, yeah, I'm not looking forward to whatever Marvel has cooking up there, but
I think there's a lot of build up in this movie too that I think kind of like you're saying right now, those are the small issues I have with this movie. Yeah. But they were able to tie in enough of it to like keep it well within what they were trying to do.
I agree, but it did feel like a whiplash. Like, oh, like I don't really want to see her face right now. Like, I don't care. Yeah. But yeah. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we talk about that mid-credit scene?
We'll talk about issues in a little bit, or
yeah, we'll talk about issues right after that.
Okay, all right.
The I think this is probably the best mid-credit scene we've ever seen. Any end credit, mid credit. This is probably the best one because, like, you know, like we see like what's her name, Shiri. She's finally burning her her moaning cloak, trying to move on. Then we see, you know, Lupita come with like T'Challa's son. And like introduces him and like, oh, this is your aunt. Like his name is T'Challa. Like he's a prince of etc. Like and we hear Rihanna sings. Like you get Rihanna to play a song. Like I heard, like that's like the only thing I've known about Black Panther. I'm like the whole movie. I'm like, when is this song gonna come up? Because like it's iconic. I'm like at this point, I've listened to it so many times, and they played in the last couple minutes of the movie. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is so good.
Yeah, those last bits where like she's like where Shuri's mourning.
Yeah.
It goes through those flashbacks of Chadwick Boseman. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't help but like kind of choke up there.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like you're saying, that mid-credit scene where they keep the legacy alive, keep the name alive. Mm-hmm. It's very tasteful. Oh, I think so they did it in great job.
So great. I can hear the naysayers like, oh, they just want to bring up a new Black Panther. So I'm like, no, like, this is, this, it, like, it perfectly explains why Lupita wasn't there during the end game and stuff like that. Like, she was pregnant. She was trying to raise this kid. And it just, I think it was so impactful. I'm like, if I had a heart, I would shed a tear. Yeah, I think generally the best mid-credit end credit. Like, I don't think there's a better way to end a movie.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I'm kind of also glad there was no after credits. Mm-hmm.
Because, like, at this point, Marvel mid-credit end credits have been so, like, cheesy and, like, a waste of my time just to sit in theaters to watch.
I mean, they have made that such a staple now. It's crazy, though.
Should we talk about... I mean, is there anything... If you let me, David, I could talk about... We already talked about this for like 20 minutes, I think. The good.
Oh, yeah. What else?
The good. I think that's it, man. I can't think of any on the top of my head.
No, I think there's a lot of good.
Yeah.
But this is not a perfect
movie. No, of course not.
I would say. Yeah. There were definitely some issues with me that sat with me. But I can't say. I think I'm kind of nitpicking. But it's because none of it was really enough for me to... take me out of the movie. I still like enjoy the movie as fully as possible.
I agree.
But you know, you see a lot of things where they kind of just threw things in, the whole Julia Dreyfus part, uh-huh. and things like that.
The building of the Thunderbolts, is that what it is?
Essentially,
yeah. Like almost like the Suicide Squad of the Marvel Universe.
Right.
Which I'm like, I'm not. I seen the lineup for it, and I'm like, I'm not. Is it a movie or a TV show?
I think it's supposed to be a movie.
I am like, I'm not gonna rush to watch that.
Right. Yeah. I think, and you see the build up here too. I was kind of like, I was wondering what kind of things they would tie in for the future of Marvel, but you see the Thunderbolts and then also Armor Wars. With, you know, a new character that they added in for this movie was Riri Williams.
Yeah.
Who's supposed to be the new Iron Man. Mm-hmm. In the comics, she's known as Ironheart. She builds her own Tony Stark suit.
I didn't hate her, but like...
No, yeah.
She was fun, interesting character, but like, I feel I wanted more from her. You know what I mean?
Right. And I think that's the tough part, because you don't want to give her too much in a movie like this. But I think for me, yeah, it's the storyline for her, it was definitely kind of just surface level, skimmed over.
Exactly.
She was there to provide a little more action, a little more, you know,
a little bit more heart, funniness and stuff like that.
Right.
But I'm like, I don't know if she needed to be here. Like, I understand why she had to be there, because they gotta make money for other movies, but like, I don't think she needed to be here.
Right. I mean, like, it taps into she's the one who created this device that mm-hmm. finds and takes vibranium, and she's some super genius.
Yeah.
Now I think a lot of her character is definitely gonna tie into Armor Wars.
Mm-hmm.
I think the rumors surfacing are gonna be like, oh, like, because in this movie she builds her suit in Wakanda.
Yeah.
Which means that her suit is probably vibranium.
No, but they won't let her take that home.
Exactly. Yeah, precisely. Yeah. Like, because of like what it's made, I think probably because what it's made of, it's like too precious. Mm-hmm. They can't let anybody else get it. And I think that's probably going to tie into Armor Wars or the Thunderbolts, like them trying to get this suit, or like kind of find more access to vibranium or something like that.
Yeah. I thought she was kind of lackluster. I'm like, yeah. She wasn't too grating. Like, oh, like, it wasn't too much of a whiplash, but like, she did stick out.
Yeah, for sure. Now, one big question I had throughout this movie was this.
Yeah.
What was Tala Khan doing during the snap?
Who's Tala Khan?
The city, the underwater city that Namor is king of.
They were just there, I guess. Like, I'm assuming Namor wasn't snapped for some reason. And
I mean, I wish, because like, even briefly, they, like, when Lupita and who was it,
Namor?
And Okoye.
Yeah.
We're talking about like the snap. Mm-hmm. Oh, like, this is what I did. I had to, like, you know, go far away, all that stuff, when like everybody was snapped.
Mm-hmm.
But Namor doesn't really touch upon that. He's talking about like all these colonizers who destroyed them, but then he doesn't. Like, I'm assuming, unless like Tala Khan was just untouched by the snap,
yeah,
then like, you know, like, then he has no reason. But like, wouldn't that be something that his character should
mention,
like, mention or be worried about?
Oh, yeah.
Him as a ruler, probably might have lost half of his people there. You know,
I completely agree. Completely. I didn't even think about that.
So yeah, I mean, that's kind of like just one thought, only because like, the other characters brought it up themselves too, and talked about it, and like talked about the issues there. So I was like, oh, then like, what happened with these guys over here? Like, were they just untouched? Like, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think ultimately, there's a lot of things that were brought up, but wasn't really fully delved into. They didn't really deep dive into a lot of things. And ultimately, I saw this whole movie as a mirror for what T'Challa went through in Civil War. The idea of grief and revenge.
Yeah, no, I see that.
But it's added another layer because her mother died as well.
Yeah, but this movie, if anything, that was probably the weakest part of Civil War, that arc. But like, no.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I agree. Yeah.
So it felt, so it's not, it does not really, but then I was like, oh, is this kind of recycled? Like, you know, like it's, you're taking the same main character and putting him, putting them through the same type of thing, like
I mean, issue. It's more about grief than anything, David. I don't think it's
which, yeah.
Like, I mean, if your mother died, like they had to kill someone important off for us to feel grief ourselves. Like,
right.
Wouldn't revenge be the top of our mind?
Right. I mean, you're right. Yeah. I mean, those are like the just little things that came up for me when as I was watching the movie.
No, I agree. Those are all valid points. I only have the picky ones. Hello? I thought I lost.
No, sorry.
You're standing very still. I'm like, oh no, my internet went out.
Yeah. What are some of your nitpicking?
Two things. I don't know what the comic book origin of Namor, his name is, but I thought it was so stupid that like Namor got his like worldly name because of a priest that he was about to murder. He said, "No more, because you will never find love." I'm like, like you said, is that a pun? I'm like, that's really stupid. I don't know. Like his like, what's his name? Like Kachala or something like that. Like it's like really cool. I'm like, but Namor, like no more. I'm like, oh, that's really dumb. I really hope, like that was probably like one of the really things that bugged me. The second thing is, throughout the whole movie, like Okoye and Shiri are like arguing about like this Iron Man-ish suit that she's building, and like it looks ugly, and I'm praying to God, like, oh, like maybe they're gonna make it look better, and like in the end, Shiri, she wears it and basically, you know, helps fight the bad guys, and it looks so stupid. Was it just me?
The Iron Man suit at the end?
Yeah, the blue one that she's wearing. This is whatever she's called, Midnight Angel or something stupid.
Oh, those, yeah. Yeah, that was a little iffy.
Yeah,
but
I don't know if it was a CGI, but it was like too shiny and like. Yo, your Wakanda, like your stuff that you make are really cool. Like it looks realistic, but like, have you played Overwatch?
A little bit, yeah.
You know, who's that Egyptian lady that flies up in the sky and shoots like grenade launchers?
Not really sure.
But like, she legit looks like an Overwatch character. I was like, I was so distracted. I'm like, really? Like that? You settled for that? And like, she saves Rossi in the end, still wearing that suit. Like Okoye is so, I love like the first two acts of this movie, because like she's a badass with a spear, and like she's fighting, and like I really thought she's gonna beat up, you know, the whole movie she's like fighting this one guy, this bruiser type, and I'm like, I thought she's gonna just be smarter than him and still be like, nope, she has Iron Man suit and that's how she wins. And I'm like,
pretty much
that's really boring.
Yeah, that end war was crazy though, like everything that was happening.
Yeah,
so much happening.
I was like, okay, that suit is really distracting. But yeah, I mean, that from the top of my mind, that's probably the two things that bugged me the most of this movie.
Oh, there's actually one little thing that I couldn't help but notice. Yeah. It's not really like an issue or anything.
Yeah, it's an issue.
But I noticed it's not. It's just like something funny that I realized. Yeah, it's like when they first go into Wakanda, or like with Shuri and her mother, and they're like telling the guys to open the gates.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like drumming on it.
On the water.
I was like, is that like, I don't know. Like, does that make sense? That cool? Yeah. Like, is that necessary? Yeah, like, could you have done something else?
Like, if you miss a beat, do they all die from the force field? Yeah. I mean, I think it's just culturally like, oh, okay, that looks really interesting and makes you think.
But yeah, I mean, that was just one other tiny little thing.
I agree. I'm like, is this stupid or is this cool? I'm like, whatever. It's not too important for me to think about. I totally agree. That was very like interesting. Like, huh? Okay, that's a choice.
Yeah. So actually, I came across an article.
Okay.
That a few articles that did not review this movie well.
Oh, they're wrong. But go on. What did the article say?
You know, one movie professor noted a few things, and also surprisingly. You know who Roger Ebert is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They did not give good ratings for this movie either.
Okay.
They gave it a star and a half.
Really? Out of what, 4 or 5?
I think it's usually 4.
4, right. 5? Wow, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, surprisingly. But some of the issues that they both come up with are these. Now, one of the big things that the first article I read was that he took issue with the fact that the ideologies behind this movie were not met, or like it didn't touch upon like all the issues that were brought up in the first Black Panther. Most notably, things like the whole idea of colonization and how Wakanda has. And like, how did Wakanda actually help its border countries? What is it doing for them and things like that? And like, I mean, for me, like, I don't know. That wasn't the point of this movie. No, so I feel like,
bro, you want a textbook? Go. You could write that yourself. That's not what a movie's about.
So like, yeah, it continues on and says like, oh, like, you know, for these colonized countries, places, you know, like even places like Talokan, things like that, their first and main people that they fought against or they should be fighting against are these colonizers. And like, so like, why were they fighting each other instead of these colonizers? And it's just like, that's I think you're missing the whole point of this movie if that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, what?
Yeah, I mean, what like, what are you,
dude, that's the last thing I wanted to see, more politicalness inside a Marvel, inside a movie like the.
Right, yeah. No, I understand that some movies need to have that, you know, convey some kind of message, yeah. But I don't think that was
the what point. Should have been. No, definitely, yeah. Definitely. That's just nitty-picky. That's nitty-gritty, so.
Yeah, seriously. Like, and another, along those lines, one of the things, issues that this particular author had was that this movie painted Talokan, you know, these people who are supposed to depict like Latino people as primitive, you know, like they're just bloodthirsty people who just want to have war. But no, I that's completely wrong from my point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, it feels like this guy didn't really listen to the first half of the movie.
No.
If after he said something like that. So, I mean, like, what about you? What do you think?
I don't know if they're primitive. Like, yeah, I think Namor's insane and he convinced his people that he's a god and that's what his goal is. Like, you know, they made points to see, like, no, there are people trading in the marketplace, living their lives. So, like, these are real people and, like, they worship Namor as a god and that's what their god wants. And I don't see it as primitive, but, like, what do they want to see? Another Wakanda underwater? Like, that's not what I want to see.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's they're different. They were able to survive 100 centuries, you know, yeah. With the way that they lived. And I think it gives them a new level of like, resourcefulness.
Oh, almost. Definitely. Like,
they're stronger than a lot of nations that have deteriorated on the surface.
Yeah.
They've survived in a way because they haven't been touched, but also because they have access to vibranium as well.
And I love the water bombs they use. I thought that was so clever.
Yes, yeah. And I, you know, a lot of like those water masks that they had too, I thought a lot of the things that they used, I thought it was great.
Oh, interesting. You know? Very interesting.
And the fact that they turn blue when they're in
outside
above
in the
land.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow. That's kind of.
Yeah. Very distinctive. Very interesting. And like, I mean, one Namor's weakness is his dryness. Like if he's too chapped, he'll die. And I'm like, that's kind of dumb. But like, I mean, he needs some kind of weakness.
Right. So on top of that, I think the author also kind of points out the fact that Namor is kind of very flip-floppy. He's inconsistent and he's contradicting with himself because he goes from this, like, he's kind of like a warmonger to when he's with Shuri, he's kind of this peaceful guy trying to show off that. And then he goes back to being a warmonger. But yeah, I mean, I don't agree with what this guy is saying.
Like I think even in the comics, like Namor is not a nice guy. He's kind of crazy and like he's a dick. And like Namor in this is kind of a dick. Like the only reason they stopped the war is because he was gonna die.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean the whole point, the reason why he was so angry is because like now, even though like nobody knew about this nation or like this underwater world, he was afraid that because like these people were able to find vibranium, they were gonna find them eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Like. He just wanted to prevent that. He wanted to protect his people and keep his borders closed.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that's what contradicted him from Wakanda, you know. And, yeah, I mean, this guy definitely he wanted a much more political movie, yeah, obviously.
Which is, Marvel's never gonna do. Disney's never gonna do.
No, definitely not. Not because their audience is so broad, it's they can't do it. No,
for sure, definitely. Like China's not gonna watch that movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Solid movie. David, I mean, we've been talking about 40 minutes, but how would you pitch Black Panther 3? What do you what do you think is going to happen next to Wakanda? And like,
actually, before we pitch
do
you want to hear about what the original idea was had if Chadwick Boseman were still around? Oh,
shoot. Yeah, of course. What would have been about?
I think the original script idea for this was supposed to touch upon T'Challa coming back from his snap, from the snap,
mm-hmm.
and him dealing with the aftermath of that. And it had to deal with a lot of his paternal relationship with the son and how he was going to handle that, how it go about that.
So he still has a son.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. He still have a son. I think that was going to be the core of it. And, you know, still bring in the fact that Namor wanted to attack Wakanda. I think personally seeing T'Challa's Black Panther fight Namor would have been so amazing.
That would have been fun. Yeah. But I would honestly, I prefer this movie.
I think the tone of this movie was a lot deeper and better, mm-hmm. in my opinion. It sucks to say that it only came out because, you know, of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
The way that they were able to approach it, they did a great job with it.
No, I totally agree. Yeah. I mean, that sounds interesting, but yeah, I wouldn't kill for that.
Mm-hmm. So with Black Panther 3, what are your thoughts then?
I don't know, because the next big baddie is, what's his name? Kang, right?
Right, yep. And from the looks of it, there's probably not going to be a Black... Or if we're going to try to go chronological order, it's probably not going to be another Black Panther movie until after these new Avengers movies.
Yeah. I wonder if they're going to mess with time a little bit. I mean, like, clearly, like, it looks like they're trying to build up to, like, a young Avengers.
Yeah.
Which is, like, I'm not, like, ooh, I'm super excited for. I'm like, oh, there's going to be a Ms. Marvel, Spider-Man, and like Thor's little daughter and stuff like that.
Mm.
And I'm like, I don't know if I really want to watch a young cast of actors, but I wonder if Kang is going to like mess up with like time somehow. And like T'Challa's young son grows up to adult and we see that. So we have like an adult Black Panther.
Oh, you mean by the time Black Panther 3 comes out?
Yeah. I don't want another snap or something like that, but like,
but something similar to that you're saying.
Exactly.
Like where like it kind of messes with the time where people are either fast forwarded or like they stay in time.
Or I don't know. Like maybe like alternate universes are clashing and stuff like that. Because right. Multiverse talked about, what do you call it when like two universes are clashing together? Two realities?
Oh, dang it.
There's a whole comic. I totally forgot.
Right. It's just, is it Convergence?
Convergence. Like I imagine something like that. Like, even if it's not this universe, like we're gonna see like T'Challa Jr. as a Black Panther fighting Shuri, which would be super interesting. I would see that.
Yeah. So, do you think M'Baku is gonna become a Black Panther?
Oh, yeah.
Way that this.
No, I don't think that's M'Baku though.
No.
No, okay. That homie. No, he's good with his cane. He's good with his stick. I would watch an M'Baku TV show or a movie. I would watch that to like no end.
I think that would be fun. I think it would be a short series.
No, it'd be so funny. Like when he walks into the throne room just eating a carrot and he's late, he's just like, doesn't care. And I'm like, yo, I love this character. He's Winston, what's his name?
Winston Duke.
Winston Duke is just, he's having the best time of his life.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, you're trying to find the next big bad for like the solo movies, right? So I just trying to think of like what other bad guys for Black Panther there are in the comics, but I'm not too familiar, so I can't really say.
No. Honestly, I don't know if I we could talk about Marvel. Like, I think they should stop making movies and like focus on their TV show being better.
Wow. Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, how do I say this? Like, even if it's like a 45-minute like movie on I don't know. Is there? It could be because I'm like, there's way too much Marvel stuff, and I'm not gonna watch everything. I kind of want there to be less, but more higher quality.
No, I get what you're saying. Yeah. Because like, yeah, everything's getting so saturated. Just pumping out so much.
Exactly.
And the harder part is like everything's supposed to connect, supposedly.
Yeah. You know? Which I'm like, that's a lot of strings that you're going in through, and I'm like, I don't know if I care enough.
But it's, I'm like. Yeah. So curious what Kevin Feige's like whiteboard looks like with everything just like mapped out right now. It's just, it must be so crazy.
Yeah, but like I've maybe watched from all the Netflix series that came out since 2021. Since the pandemic, I've seen like maybe 2 out of like what 20. So I have like no idea what I know. They're building up to Black to Thunderbolt, and I really don't care. But like, I don't know. What was your question actually, again?
So I mean, like, just the idea of the villain for the next Black Panther movie. Actually, I came across 2 that would be kind of big names. Mm-hmm. Dr. Doom.
Oh, that'd be so good.
And Magneto. And with the introduction of X-Men in this new
MCU. Oh, and Vibranium. That'd be so crazy.
That would be an interesting one.
I mean, I don't know. Like, oh man, DC, get your shit together, man. That's all I could say. But like, when they introduce like Fantastic Four and X-Men, do you think it'd be good? Or do you think people would be like, eh, the superhero bubble's popped finally?
Yeah.
But it's due time. It's been like, what, 20 years? 10 years?
It's been about 20 years now. Yeah. Or it's closing in on 20 years for sure.
That's a long time.
And you know, I think people have been waiting for the X-Men to come in, and you know, especially the Fantastic Four. And you know, in the comics, they are such huge parts of that whole main storyline. So it's so hard to see them in this universe without them.
Oh yeah.
So I believe when they do come, it might give the MCU a little bit of a push.
Oh yeah.
But
another revamp, I don't know.
Sort of like a quick revival, you know, things like that. But I, you know, it's really tough to see anything past Endgame being at that level anymore.
I agree. I don't think there's anything that's coming up from Marvel. I'm like, yo, I'm so excited to watch that since this movie came out.
Yeah, know? Honestly. I mean, like, the only real thing that I am excited to see is like maybe Spider-Man. I mean, I love the character so much.
Tom Holland kills it, and like they ended up in a really interesting part of his life.
Exactly. I think the way they ended it is what I wanted to see.
Oh yeah.
To be honest, me too. Kind of like how Spider-Man is that street level hero. Mm-hmm, like nobody really knows him. He does everything on his own, and that
like, his brings life him back. Sucks. It's like really depressing, which is like peak Spider-Man.
Right, so it really brings him down to that true character form, I feel like. He has no aid with the Avengers, you know, things like that. Like, he's just himself. So, like, that, I mean, that story arc I'm curious about. But other than that, yeah, even the Avengers movies, aside from the fact that Jonathan Majors is going to be the main villain.
Which I think he's going to kill, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not too much where I'm dying to go see.
The next,
I say that, and then I'm gonna go see every single movie.
And I'll let you know how it goes. You let me know how it goes. Because I am definitely not gonna like the next one's what, Ant-Man?
Yeah.
I've seen the trailer and like, cool. That's like the only phrase I could say. I'm like, yeah, that looks like a Marvel movie.
You know, you see this, you see the way that Marvel's trying to like grab you into these movies, keep you in it. It's like with these little team ups here and there.
Yeah, yeah. Which is a smart thing you have to do.
Which is the best, which is the best thing. Because like at this point, like for guys like you and me, like we've seen the bulk of it.
Yeah.
The important parts, the important characters really live out what they were supposed to live out. Mm-hmm. And the best way to keep any of like these older fans to it is, you know, keep tying in more characters in a way.
Like seeing a Spider-Man and Defenders team up, that'd be really great. Or like a Spider-Man / Daredevil movie, that'd be fun.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, even like, I mean, the next thing I'm definitely curious about is Deadpool.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be. But like, what's his name? Logan is gonna be in it apparently.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman's coming back,
which would be great. You know, Henry Cavill would be a great Wolverine.
He's too old. No, it's not that. He's just too good looking.
He's too good looking? Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. But
not to say Hugh Jackman isn't good looking.
Can you imagine that being a problem in life? Like, oh no, you're too handsome. You're too suave. You can't.
You know, sometimes that is. Wolverine's like an animal,
yeah,
man.
He's this tiny, short animal. Yeah, no, I totally agree. But Hugh Jackman is not. He's this handsome.
Yeah, seriously. He's Broadway the exact singer. Opposite. Which is even crazier because, like, when you think of Wolverine now, you think of Hugh Jackman. Exactly. Like,
Is there anything else we want to talk about Black Panther?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of tough to see where this storyline is going to continue on, especially because of what's going to happen throughout the MCU storyline. So I think we're going to have to table that.
Definitely, I agree. That's a whole conversation itself. So, yep. David, you know, as we wrap up this episode, where can our wonderful, beautiful listeners find us?
Well, you guys can always find us on our Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. Just look for Repitch Podcast. And also, if you guys have any, you know, comments for us, shoot us an email at repitchpodcast@gmail.com. And as always, before we go out, big shout out to our friend Joe Yu, Mr. Panda Mix on SoundCloud, for helping us with the sound editing and just cleaning up our voices and everything, and with the intro and outro music.
Yeah, and thank you guys so much for tuning in. We upload an episode twice a week. We repitch a Stephen King short story. It was horrible, but definitely a fun repitch. David does it. You guys see if I gave him the green light or not. But yeah. Yes. To wrap up, I realize I already said like two of the best quotes in the movie, but you know, I'm gonna end up with this quote. T'Challa was truly a noble. Are you gonna be like him, or are you gonna take care of business? Yeah, Michael B. Jordan killing it. All right, man. We'll see you guys later.
Thank you, guys.
Wakanda forever.